So it's always wonderful to be here. All of you are family, 30 plus years, like Matt said, is lots of history. And I want to give you a little update. Our family had a little baby born this year. So Christian is going to be cueing my PowerPoint. So I'm going to be doing this. You'll see this a lot today. But the message that I am going to speak on is the beauty and the mystery of the gospel. And I'm excited about this message that the Lord has given me for all of you. And go ahead and show the picture, Christian. This is my two girls and son and their spouses and nine little grandchildren. Yeah. So the little baby was born in July. He's almost a year old, so it's just been precious. But it's always so great to come and be able to share God's faithfulness of what God has done through all of your prayers and all of your giving throughout the years. And Orphan Relief and Rescue was started in 2007, for some of you who are new. And God has just been busting open the heavenlies over the work that we're doing in Liberia and Benin, West Africa. We work particularly with children that are in village areas that no one else knows really what to do with, the children in the most complicated situations. Before I get started, too, I wanted to introduce Elizabeth Hagen. She works with us now, and if you know the Hagen family, she grew up on the island. So, Elizabeth, you stand up. I know, she doesn't like to have attention on her. So she's been working with us with Orphan Relief and Rescue, and she's here today. She'll be managing the table in the back, so if you want to get, I have two books back there, Inspired to Action, Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life, and our newsletter sign-up list is going to be back there as well. So I wanted to share an update with Orphan Relief and Rescue, and then I'll go into the message. So Christian, go on ahead and go to the next. So Liberia and Benin is the west part of Africa, and it is, we're working in really the poorest areas of West Africa. And going ahead and go to the next. In Liberia, we have a program called Break the Silence. We have three staff members there. We actually downsized significantly during COVID because we had 13 staff and we had to pay a bunch of staff to stay home for 8 months because of the lockdowns. So we restructured everything there, and we are working in schools and orphanages, empowering kids to know their rights to their bodies, basically, because they didn't know they could say no when teachers proposition them for sexual favors for something as simple as a pencil or a piece of paper. This was just a way of life. They didn't know they could say no to that. So we found out this huge hole in that area, and so we've met that, and just we're seeing huge transformational things happening in schools and orphanages, principals being fired, school teachers being fired, restructuring of whole school districts because of this program, and we have a hotline where kids can get help as well. So that's incredible. And in the Benin side is really the anti-trafficking part, and God is doing crazy things. We have 550 kids that we literally have intercepted from being sold into slavery or who have come back from slavery. And these villages that we work in, literally their only way of business was selling their kids before we showed up. And it was shocking. I didn't believe that was true until we got into these villages. And it has been incredible what God is doing. We literally, when we intercept a child, we find out a child's going to be taken to the border of Nigeria. And we go in with our staff. We have a staff of 8 anti-trafficking workers, local workers. And then we have a support staff of about 20 workers. Well, actually more now, because we have 10 of them are cooks for these 550 kids. And they're in 4 different major trafficking villages. And so, trafficking villages where we're fighting against the trafficking in those 4 major villages. So this is where when we find out that the kid is going to be sold to Nigeria, usually it's the chief of the village, social welfare office, one of the neighbors, they'll tell our staff, hey, you know, this family over here, the dad just died and they're going to sell their child. And so our staff goes in and they tell the parent, they say, you know, we want to let you know that this is called trafficking when you send your child to Nigeria to work. and we don't want you to get in trouble because this is now illegal. And so will you not send your child tomorrow to Nigeria and let us put your child into school and on a feeding program, and we're going to help you with a microloan, savings and loan program, so you can start a business and help your family, your other family members. And 100% of them say, well, yes, you just solved my problem. Okay. So we put them in that program, and that is where they're going to learn about business, and they're going to learn about Jesus. And this is where God is sweeping through, doing incredible things. We have 1,430 parents on this savings and loan program now, and over 400 of have apprentice. Okay, so in that program, they bring in apprentices who are at high risk to be trafficked as well, so they can teach those kids a trade, and so they can learn to provide for their help their families. And so there's 400 apprentices under those 1,430. I mean, the numbers are just ridiculous now. I'm just like, our staff, I ask for numbers, and they just look at me like, really, we have to find the numbers to this one? And I'm saying, yes, we do, you know? So, but the 550 kids, this is just one of the four villages where we work. And this is a feeding program. We have a Saturday kids program in each of these four villages. And the mammoth amount of kids that show up now is unbelievable. And I literally, when I come in person, I'm just like, all I can say is, wow, God. Wow, God. Everywhere I go, I'm just saying, wow, God. And the next picture, so people say, how do you find these kids that are going to be trafficked? It is the neighbors or someone telling us about them. Or they show up to the Saturday program hungry because they're going to get food and they're going to learn about Jesus at this Saturday discipleship program for the whole community of kids. And the kids show up and go back to the other one, Christian. Sorry, I was doing my hands there. So this child in particular was treated in or was used in a voodoo ritual the night before. So they have these white dots on their faces, and they're very dirty little kids because the parents don't care about them, and they don't hardly shower or take baths, or, you know, you can always spot them in the Saturday program, and our staff will zero in on those kids, and they're catatonic in their eyes, they have no life to them, and they'll follow them home, and they'll find out their situation, and most likely within a week or two, they're going to be sold because the parents really don't care about them. And they want to earn money from that child. And so this little boy was with three other siblings at that same Saturday program, and they all looked identical. And we just follow them along, and that's how the numbers have got up to 550 now in this area. And so I was in Benin last month, and I did a video for you guys just kind of giving you a little overview of my life in Benin when I'm there. So Christian, go ahead and show that number one video.
The Assembly of God.
I am in Benin, and I just wanted to say a big thank you to you while I'm here. I'm in front of our orphanage safe home, and we've got 64 kids here, and in the villages is where we do the anti-trafficking work, but this is where I stay when I come, and you have been incredibly strategic to help us with not only the kids that have been intercepted from being sold who are total orphans, don't have parents alive, so they live in this orphanage safe home due to their safety. If they have been kids that have been intercepted from being trafficked in the field, in the village areas, and they have families alive, we try to keep them with their families. And so that's where we put the parents into our microfinance program, and that is where God is sweeping through and really transforming the lives of many of these families. The beautiful thing is, whether the kids are being raised here or in the village, we are seeing God just sweep through and transform family after family, child after child. And your finances that you have been giving have been incredible.
And, you know, this is really where I'm going into the message part with the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of the mystery of the gospel. The mystery part is the part that's the interesting part that I have realized. I'm always saying to God, how do you even do this? Like, really, this transformational thing. You take voodoo, so we're in the voodoo capital of the world. you know, people say, how can parents sell their kids? Well, it's witchcraft and voodoo. They have no natural affection for their kids in this religious practice that they practice. And so when they don't value their kids, kids are only for profit, so they're going to sell their kids and make a profit from them. And when they come to Jesus, literally their eyes are opened, and they literally have natural affection for their kids that comes. And if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't truly believe that it could be that transformational. But it literally, they look catatonic when they're in voodoo and witchcraft. If you've ever seen anybody in witchcraft, it's this blank look in their eyes. And once they come to Jesus, they're bright-eyed, and it's just incredible. And the scripture that the mystery part is what Paul talks about in Ephesians 3. And I'm just going to read this because it explains really the mystery of the gospel. And it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And we're seeing the mystery through redemption, through people putting their faith in Christ and proclaiming Christ. And go ahead and go to the next one, Christian. And Ephesians 1, 13 through 14, says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of his glory. And that is the part that once we believe, we're marked with his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit that comes in when we accept Jesus into our heart. This is what we're seeing on the field. This is what we're seeing here in America. Wherever we go, the power of the Holy Spirit is the one that transforms us from the inside out. That's the mystery of the gospel. You know, in Africa, everybody believes in everything spiritual. You know, everything's connected to something spiritual. And here, if we don't truly believe it, if we can't touch it, see it, feel it, smell it, we have to have a physical manifestation of something before we truly believe it. And so this is why, for me, personally, I'm always like, how is God doing this? How is he doing this? Because I'm looking through the lens of, I can't touch it, I can't feel it, I can't see it, I am seeing the visual. But I can't physically touch what God is doing. But I'm witnessing the power of the Holy Spirit and the mystery and the beauty of the gospel to come in and literally transform life after life after life, child after child after child. I always think there's just, you know, some of these kids come in and I'm looking at them and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't think God can do this one. You know, it's just too much, too big. They've watched parents be murdered in front of them. I mean, we have three kids that literally watched their parents be macheted in front of them. And they come to us catatonic into the orphanage safe home. And I literally look at them and I'm like, okay, they're going to be scarred for life. God, I don't know how you're going to do this. And then we teach them about this God who loves them, who didn't destine them to have to go through this. This is the plot of the enemy to destroy their family and their life. But God has a plan, and he wants to redeem their life, and he wants relationship with them. And once they come into relationship with them, everything changes. They start putting their trust in him, and then the transformational stuff happens. And then I'm asking them, are you having nightmares every night? And they say, no, I just do what you tell me to do, and I just envision Jesus holding me, and I'm just telling Jesus to be with me and show me how much he loves me. And he does it. And I'm like, he did? Really? He did do that, you know? And I'm always surprised. But they have the childlike faith, and they do exactly what we tell them to do with Jesus, and it works. And I come home, and I go, okay, if it worked for them, when I'm going through these really difficult things, not watching my parents be murdered, but other difficult things, I know that the power of the Holy Spirit can come in and can heal and can soothe and can give us everything we need to be okay. Not only okay, but to a whole new level. And the other scripture, go on ahead and Christian, go to the next scripture, is the Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And then I think of these parents, where I literally, when I walked into these villages for the first time and saw this catatonic look, and I used to think, okay, I know in the Old Testament why God wiped whole people groups out, you know, because they're selling their kids, they're beating their kids, they don't care about them, they're using them, slicing and dicing them in these voodoo rituals, and I'm like, God, you just need to do what you did in the Old Testament, you know? And my staff are the ones that corrected me, my Beninois staff, and they would say, Rebecca, no one is unredeemable. God's going to do his work here. And I'm like, okay, great. You know, I didn't have a lot of faith in those early years because of what I saw and the abuse of these kids and the trauma that these parents put the kids through. But now on the other side, I'm seeing everywhere we go, God is doing these crazy, miraculous redemption stories. And these parents are testifying over and over how God has completely changed them, changed their family, has given them dignity, and is transforming not only their life, but now their neighbors' lives, and then their other neighbors' lives. And I feel like I'm witnessing a movie, to be honest. Everywhere I walk, I'm like, okay, this had nothing to do with my faith, because I didn't have much faith back then. It had to do with the power of the Holy Spirit, and it had to do with people just loving Jesus and saying yes. And, you know, the next scripture is really the Philippians 3:10, says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So the power of his resurrection, him dying on the cross and rising again, the power of his resurrection, there's a power that happened when that happened, where it literally atoned for all of the sins. We all know the story. You all know the salvation message. But the part that is at the end where it says, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I look at that as my personal resurrection, because my personal resurrection happens when I choose to die to myself, choose to die to my own will, choose to walk through the tough stuff of life and to say yes to all that God may ask me to do. That's when my personal resurrection happens. And it happens because God paid the ultimate price first. And then the second thing is he wants us to walk through this yes to him fully. Yes, we can, you know, just have the salvation message and then say, yes, I commit my life to Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and we can do that. And then the next step, if we truly want to walk in this extraordinary life, the next level is the quote that I was thinking of. It says, our true joy comes by the way of the cross. And in Luke 17:33, it says, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. And the Matthew 10:39, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it, but if you give up your life for me, God says, you'll find it. And that is the part that I have learned. If I've learned nothing else in these years, I've learned that this is the most important scripture for me to base my life patterns on, is to really not pursue what's going to fill me, but what's going to be the emptying of myself so that God could do whatever he wants to do. And in that, I think I'm going to lose it all, and I'm going to just it's going to be a hard life and a terrible life or whatever, but I'm just going to do it because I know God wants me to do it. And when I do it, the miraculous happens. And I come alive more than I've ever come alive in my life. And I found who I was created to be. And I found who God created me to be. And that is when we truly do find ourselves. And it's against everything the world will tell us. Everything that they say, just do what makes you happy. You know, we all know all the slogans out there. And yet, we go that road, and we don't find what we're looking for. So we go to the next road. And God is just saying, give up, give up, give up your life for me fully. And you will truly find your life. And there's a story that I was thinking of last week was Mother's Day. And on Mother's Day, in 2001, so 23 years ago, I had been in bed for 3 months with some depression and anxiety stuff. I had taken care of my mom all summer. She had diabetes complications, almost died all through the summer. So I lived in Texas at the time, came here with my three little ones and took care of her all summer. Well, she wasn't happy about anybody taking care of her, and so it was a hard summer. And I went home, and I could not get out of bed. I literally, for 3 months, every day, I was just like, I'm just tired. I'm tired. And everybody would say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And I'd say, I'm just tired. I'm not sleeping well at night, and I'm tired. Well, finally, after 3 months, I was like, there was a commercial that came on, and it said, you know, if you've got insomnia, if you can't sleep at night, if you have a hard time making decisions, if this and that, you're depressed, and you need this medicine. And I was like, oh my gosh. I don't know that I even considered depression, because I wasn't sad. I was just tired and couldn't make decisions. So I went to the doctor, got under the care of a doctor. I didn't have to get on medicine, thankfully, but I did realize I have to change my life, and I realized I had let my relationship with God go because of just busyness. I dug into Jesus like never before. I just read the scriptures, and I started exercising and doing all the things that I knew I needed to do for personal health. And so I was able to get out of bed, but there was a book that I read with Dutch Sheets, Intercessory Prayer, and he talked about when God prompts your heart, he's prompting your heart because he wants to accomplish his perfect will through your life, and he needs the human conduit to accomplish some of these things. And so it's up to us if we want to choose to be used of the Lord or not, or we can just, you know, say no. And as I read that, you know, I was like, oh, I want to be used of the Lord. I want to do God's perfect will, whatever that is. And so there was a night where I committed. I said, God, I commit. No matter what you ask me to do, I will say yes. Whatever it is, from this point on, I will say yes. The very next day was Mother's Day. We're in church. I'm with my three beautiful kids. They have all the mothers stand up, and I'm just feeling so blessed, and I'm looking around at all the other mothers, and then my eyes hit a mother that was, worked in the same office as me at that time. We were with Mercy Ships, another organization. And I knew she and her husband had been trying to have a baby for 10 years and couldn't, and she was 45 years old. And so I just thought, this Mother's Day must be really hard for her. And as I thought that thought, the thought immediately came to me, you need to pray for her. And I was like, what? No, it's Mother's Day. That wouldn't be good. That'll make her cry. You know, that's my first thought. And the Lord was like, nope, go pray for her. And I literally wrestled with that all service. Finally, at the end, I knew I was going to be physically sick if I didn't do it. I beelined to her, and I said, you know, can I pray for you? And I feel like God wants me to pray that you will have a baby. And she said, oh, sure. You know, so I started praying for her, and as I prayed, I literally envisioned chains over her uterus. I had never had a vision like that before, and I just prayed that all these chains over her uterus would be broken in Jesus' name. And as I prayed, I started crying, then she started crying, and I thought, I'm making a really big mess of this Mother's Day for her now. And I wasn't happy about that, but I was obedient. And after the prayer, I couldn't talk. Either of us could talk because we were blubbering messes, and I beelined to the bathroom stall, and I said, God, that was terrible. No, that was so bad. I made her cry, and I felt like the Lord gently just said, thank you for saying yes. And within 3 months, she was pregnant. She delivered right before her 46th birthday. And that boy is now, what is he, 23 now? And I got to see the visual of this little, adorable, blue-eyed, curly blonde hair boy come into the existence. And I know it wasn't just my prayer. I know other people were praying. But God wanted the symbol of his hands and feet to touch this woman and to pray. And so that was a lesson to me. And from that point on, I started saying yes. But then I had this huge anxiety still, leftover remnants from my depression stuff. And every time I would go into a group of people, I would have this huge anxiety. My heart would palpitate. I couldn't hardly function when I would go into a group. And I'd have to go into the bathroom again and go, why am I feeling like I'm going to have a heart attack? And God had a friend, a coworker actually, who had just gone to a seminar talking about the root causes of anxiety, depression, anxiety, or addictions, and all these different things. And she says, can I just pray for you? Because I was mentioning, you know, I have a hard time with anxiety that's like the remnants left of this being in bed for 3 months, I think. I don't know. And as she says, can I just pray for you? I said, yes, you know, that would be great. So she says, we're just going to ask God for the root cause. And she started praying, and she asked God to reveal the root cause of the specific anxiety and breathing problems. And as she prayed, she was mentioning, God, if it's a mother issue, if it's a father issue, if it's a brother issue or a coworker. But when she hit the mother word, I started bawling. And I knew instantly, it's a mom issue. And I opened my eyes, and I looked at my friend. Her name's Christy. And I said, Christy, it's a mom issue. And she goes, did you have a difficult mother? And I said, yes. And I was thinking of that summer. It was very difficult. And she says, okay, well, whatever went on in your childhood, you need to forgive her, and you need to say it out loud. And I said, I forgive her, and I started bawling again. And then she says, you have to say it out loud 10 times a day, you know? And so I walked through this whole thing of saying it 10 times a day, and with that came this perfectionism thing, and with that I had to, you know, say out loud, I don't have to be perfect, because I was trying to overcompensate because of my mom issues. And God just revealed all this stuff. And I know you're taking a bondage breaker Sunday school class with Bobby and Bill Criswell, and that is really the bondage breaker steps are really what I went through a lot of, and God set me free in that way so that I could do what I'm doing today. And every time I start having breathing problems, I go back to that. And that is what God wants us to be free, not only just accepting Jesus and saying yes, but then being set free in our personal life so that we can be completely free to do what God is asking us to do daily without the breathing problems or the anxiety or all the things that God, or all the things that Satan wants to cripple us with. And so I want to just, encourage you guys to continue to seek the Lord for your personal freedom in these different ways. You know, we're seeing people on the field set free, and I'm reminded, you know, personally that we also need to be sometimes set free in different areas. Salvation is the first step, and then there's other steps that God wants to set us free in, and that's what we're seeing with the kids on the field. And I'm going to show you these two last videos because I want to show you a visual of God. Not only I've told you about setting free, but now they're becoming, these kids and these parents are becoming worshipers. And so this first video you're going to see of these kids in the village, this was last week. Little prayer warriors. Yeah, that is, I think that is just the coolest thing, seeing these little prayer warriors praying for their villages and their families. They're the ones that are going to transform this whole land for Jesus. And then the next video you're going to see is basically, this is our country director has a church that there was a church in Reno that funded his church building. So he had no church building for years, and they funded a church building, and now he's church planting in each of these four villages. And many of our kids that have graduated from our orphanage safe home are going to this church now. Girls, we have a safe home for girls, just three girls right now who have come back from slavery. They're in that church. And you're going to see Sonia in the front row just praising and worshiping God, similar to the video. I mean, it's the girl you saw in the video. But this is what is transforming this nation for God, is these ones that are coming to Jesus and radically saying yes to the Lord with everything that God has asked of them. And so I'm going to end with this. This is at the church.
I will pray, oh, I will pray. If I don't pray, Satan will make mess of me. I will pray, I will pray. I will pray, oh, I will pray. If I don't pray, Satan will make mess of me. I will pray, I will pray. I will pray, oh, I will pray. If I don't pray, Satan will make mess of me. If Jesus can pray, if Peter can pray, if Babalola can pray, who am I not to pray? If Pastor Chris can pray, if Peter Daniels can pray, oh, if GUC can pray, who am I not to pray? If Oedekbo can pray, if Pensinida Osa can pray.
And that is what God wants to do through each of us as we say yes.
You know, when we have a missionary join us, and if you've been around our church, when we have a missionary join us, you know, we ask you to just ask the Lord, what would he have you do to give? We're not, you know, trying to strong-arm anyone, and but we do want you to ask the Lord what he wants you to give, you know, to missions. And I use that word, give. That's what the word. But really, it's an investment. Because the $100 you give, or the $10 you give, or the $1,000 you give, whatever it happens to be, it does this kind of thing in people's lives and in villages all around the world. And so it's not just, we're not just saying, ask the Lord what he wants you to give. We're saying, ask the Lord what he wants you to invest in people's lives that will be changed for eternity. And you just imagine, like this girl, was her name Sonia? Sonia. You know, so Sonia's going to get married, and she's going to have kids. And imagine the future her kids have compared to the future she had moving forward. And it can happen because we make investments. So my plea to you is, ask the Lord, what would he have you invest today, invest in regards to Benin and Liberia? There's bowls on tables in the back. You can always obviously do it online if that's how you give. You just go to our website and hit the give button, and make sure you mention it to, you know, ORR is the easy way to do it, Orphan Relief and Rescue, and it'll all go to them. Let's all stand together. Rebecca, why don't you head down to center circle. Elizabeth, go with her. And we rally around. If you haven't been around our church, one of the things we do is rally around our missionaries and pray for them. It's why we pray regularly on Sunday mornings. It's why we pray for missionaries, because we're making an investment in what God's trying to do to redeem and transform the world. So gather around them, and we're going to pray.